Your source for everything paranormal. Para-X. The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para-X, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
The Gathering. The supernatural world can be a dark, intimidating, and scary place. We gather to shine light on the mysterious and misunderstood aspects of the paranormal world. We bring to the table years of experience as mediums, healing channels, and paranormal investigators.
We share true stories from our experiences to dispel fear where we can and help you discover the amazing layers that make up the paranormal world. You are invited to gather around the metaphysical table with us and discuss the worlds of the unseen on The Gathering Radio Show.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to The Gathering here on the Para-X Network. This is Heidi.
And this is Stephanie. Welcome to another Tuesday evening.
Tuesday evening here in the Langer Studios, and we've got some mood lighting going.
Yeah, I just shut off.
I'm just going to say, all of a sudden, it's mood lighting. I'm like, whoa.
We have a candle going.
It's very nice.
Yes. I thought, you know, we just kind of needed it. And we also are drinking a beer. So if we're a little squirrely tonight.
So Stephanie says that we should... First, she says, I should have one. I'm like, well, no, I'm not having one by myself. And I don't even think I should have a whole one. So we actually are splitting one.
Well, yeah.
We're celebrating spring. And the fact that it is warm here in Minnesota, we can go outside without 5 layers on.
Yes.
And I wore no socks the other day. Yes, that's correct. Yes, I did.
Oh, my.
I wore shoes that I didn't have to wear socks. And I felt great. And a little naked, I'll admit. It was like weird to have exposed areas of the body that haven't seen outside in like 7 months. They haven't seen outside air in 7 months.
Oh my God. I had coffee with my friend Lisa today at work, and she was wearing sandals with no socks. And I'm like, Lisa, aren't your tootsies cold? Yes, they are. But it is springtime, and you know what? I'm just going to do it. And I said, well, I'm celebrating spring by having thinner socks on and not the big, thick ones. My feet are freezing, so I can only imagine if they were naked beneath these shoes.
It's the little things, I'm telling you. It's just the little things that get us excited for this time of year. So
You know, this winter has been just a crazy winter, so... We have been in 10 layers all since October.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yep.
You know, it's just ridiculous. Yep. Oh, my goodness. But, yeah, so now I think it's finally kind of maybe turned the corner. Knock on wood, because I should never say that, because we just never know for sure. But
it snowed the other night.
We got
dusting
from being out in the field.
Yeah, Sunday night.
Snow going on. Yeah. Weird.
Lord, help me.
But we were out, so the squatchers were out in the field on Sunday.
And God, it was a nice day.
Oh, it was beautiful.
Sunshine. Was it in the upper 30s, low 40s, somewhere in there?
Yeah, I think it was like 45-ish, maybe.
Was it?
I think so. I don't, maybe it just felt warmer because the sun
was... I think it felt warmer because the sun. Yeah. But who cares? We were able to go outside, and it was lovely.
We were out there for many hours, and we walked many miles, and it was a crazy traverse through the marshlands, but boy, did we find some cool stuff.
We had some swampy areas,
yes,
almost up to the tops of our boots in some areas. We didn't realize how deep it was.
Yeah.
And you know, what a switch from last time we were out, where we had more than that snow coming up past our knees in some areas, which made it so hard to walk in. It was really hard. And I mean, this is, if you're actually doing squatching, like if you're doing hardcore squatching, like you're really actually going out in the field, it's hard.
It's hard work.
It is grueling activity. You think walking in the woods, these are not paved trails. Obviously, we're not taking paved trails. This is off woods. No. This is off path.
Yes.
This is rough terrain. We're climbing over fallen trees, uphills.
Uphills, downhills.
Rocks, things that stick out of the ground that I almost wiped out. I did the slow motion fall because a big stick caught my boot and I couldn't get unhooked fast enough.
Oh my God.
And your body is just screaming by the time you're done because it is painful.
It is hard.
It is hard work. I'm not going to say I'm in terrific shape.
No.
But I'm not, I can handle myself in certain situations. And this is hard.
It's hard. And the forest floor is often littered with so much debris that it's hard. It's just, roots are grabbing at you and branches. And so, you're constantly always kind of flailing because you're really, whatever. And then we wanted to get to the other side of the marsh. So we walked through and, oh my God, I don't know how far that was. It seemed like a really long way.
Yeah.
And it was hard. It was hard traversing that marsh because it was, we wanted to stay out of the water as much as we could. And there's kind of a natural land bridge through there, but there was so much water from the melt off that you couldn't really see it. So we were kind of swerving in and out. And, it was hard, but I'm so glad we went because we found some really cool stuff. And we'd been to an area that we hadn't really been to before. And then we walked, trekked another, I don't know how lot far back that way. So we found some cool stuff.
And we did.
I think we should, like I said, go out there one night and stay the night out there. And of course, we're never going to sleep. None of us will sleep, but there's a lot of paranormal activity there too.
It was really active. And with all the animals and not that we saw a lot of animals during the day, but you could see because of the scat that was around, how many different animals are there. So we would have to be careful.
We would. We'd have to have a fire. We'd have to have a fire.
Well, and I don't know what you can do that's a protected area.
We could have a fire probably. Yeah, I don't know. We'd have to think about it. There'd have to be a number of us though, so that, people could always be on the lookout to see what's out there. But I do think it would be really a really cool thing to do because there's just a lot happening out there. And I do think that the big girl is there. I really do.
It feels possible.
I feel like we're just so close to seeing her.
And the structures that we found this time were really interesting. And we found a lot of naturally bowed trees, but they were all in different places. It's not like they were just in a section, maybe from weather or some kind of event. So that was interesting.
It was all interesting. It was fun. And if anybody wants to go to the Squatchers page, we do have some videos out there about just how hard it was to get through that marshland. And there's some pictures out there, and it was just a phenomenal day. I think we'll probably leave it alone now for a while. We probably won't go back there for a few months. We have a lot of other areas to check out. We have some leads,
in other areas that we want to go check out, and we only have so many times and people. So we're going to check it out and see what happens. Check out some areas. But that was a fun day. It was beautiful out.
It was beautiful.
To have not snow up to our knees, it was worth going through the swamp.
Yeah.
The marsh, whatever, to not have snow up to our.
Oh yes, it was really hard the last time we went. Oh my gosh, and all that snow. Yeah, that was hard. But what's interesting is so every once in a while we get emails from gals who say, "Gee, we'd like to be a part of your group." And so I have our standard email that I send back that talks about all the things that we do because it's not just a social activity, man. It's hard work. And nine times out of ten, we never get a response back, right? They're looking at it like, okay, forget this idea.
Yeah. Well, we have to warn people because it's not, it isn't easy, and I don't want to, Kat had said, what did she say? In rain, sleet, snow, hurricanes, tornadoes, uphill both ways. Okay, yeah. But it's hard. It's not a tended path. So it is hard, and it's not for the faint of heart. And we want to make sure people understand that. And we carry packs. These packs are not light with all the stuff we carry.
Oh.
And so we have to let people know this. And then, I think you and I both are in paranormal groups, and it's the same thing. There's a lot of people that want to join because it looks like fun on TV. It is fun, but it's a lot of work. There's a lot of prep work, there's a lot of post work, and during, it's not like you see on TV all the time. And so we have to let people know that, and then they kind of back away. It's like, oh, it's not You just show up, you do it, you leave, and that's it. It's like turning it on and off like a TV show.
Yeah,
it's a lot of prep. And, yes. You know, it's. I think it's fair to let people know that ahead of time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's fair to both of us. It's them
I
and
agree.
Us. So, yeah.
I agree. And they have to know. I think there are squatching groups out there that just drive out into a wooded area maybe and just get out of the car for a little ways and get back in the car. But it's not what we do. I mean, we're out there and we traverse a long way. So, but the cool thing is that the squatchers are going to be on the calling radio show tomorrow night, and I'm hoping Heidi can join. I'm going to be on, and Katie, and maybe one of the other gals, who knows. But so listen, we're going to talk about our latest adventures, and we're going to talk a little bit more in depth, I think, about the stick structures and these arches that we've found and what we're doing this year and where we've been and what we've found and our squatch chats and all that fun stuff.
Yep.
So tune in to The Calling tomorrow night at 7 p.m. right here on the Para X Network for All About the Squatchers.
So in the chat room,
yes,
Sherry in the chat room asked about the Ouija board that I talked about last week.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
And she said, what happened? So I thought, okay, I should follow up with that. And then we can get on to our topic,
mm-hmm.
you know, actually get on to our topic this week.
it's been a while since we've just been together and not had guests or an audience doing some other thing. You
exactly.
know, and, yeah.
We get all the stuff saved up. Mm-hmm. So we had this Ouija board that was sent, and I'm embarrassed to say that it was sent a while back, and it got caught. It was sent in a cardboard box. And it got caught up with some of my other items that I keep in storage, and it's in my back office. And
mm-hmm.
I found it even like over a month ago.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my God, I can't believe I haven't closed this yet. And I didn't want to take it out of the box until I was ready to close it. So I had no idea what was going on there. But then a few weeks ago, I saw this stain emerging from the inside of the box. Like it looked like it was coming from the inside of the box. Mm-hmm. It was like this oil stain mm-hmm. or something. I didn't know. And I thought, well, this is interesting,
mm-hmm.
possibly disturbing,
yes.
because there's nothing that could cause that where it sits, and it looked like it was coming from the inside, and it kept growing, it got bigger. I'm like, well, mm-hmm. good Lord. So anyway, this weekend I told Tim, because he came to the group meditation, and I said, afterwards we're going to close this.
Yeah.
And we had Cindy stay, and she helped film. She okay. filmed it just in case, because we've had situations where, and I might have said this on before, where I had my hair, like a wind hit me and it blew my hair.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. That's the one that you have for the Halloween open house, right?
Yep. And the smell was horrific.
Yeah.
So I wish we would have had that on video, because you can't mm-hmm. make it up. You just, mm-hmm. and it would have been cool to have it anyway. So we filmed them all now afterwards. And sometimes nothing happens, but we have it filmed anyway. So we open, well, we feel this, the energy of this box, and there's someone is connected to this board, and we don't know if it's the person that used the board that came from a Scottish descent.
Oh.
Or it was connected to someone that was trying to get through that was from a Scottish descent. Anyway, yeah, because that was coming through very, very clear as the Scottish descent. But there was a woman connected to the board
mm-hmm.
through Scottish descent. We didn't know what side she was from, if she was from the spirit world or she was the person using the board. The board, it looked like, from what I could tell, was from the 60s, from where I can tell the manufacturer and stuff. It looked like it was made from the 60s. Mm-hmm. So it's had some history here. You know, it's been around for a while, so I don't know how many owners it's had. Mm-hmm. But anyway, there was definitely something that wanted to get through the board again. Something had come through and caused some trouble. We couldn't get a read on what it was, but it felt like one and then a couple others were going to come in with it mm-hmm. behind it.
Mm-hmm.
It not as malevolent as other boards mm-hmm. that I've used. So, you know, we open it up and I take it out, and it's in the box. The box is kind of folded flat. It's kind of squished, you know, flat. And so I pick it up out of the cardboard box. First of all, I open the cardboard box.
Mm-hmm.
There is newsprint, like big, thick newsprint kind of stuff that packs around its board and is just flopping around in there.
Yeah.
Everything is clean in there.
So where is this oil coming from?
I don't know.
Hmm.
But it wasn't there when I got the board, when I got the box in the mail. It was not there. There was no stain. So I don't know where it came from, because the inside was a very clean box.
Mm-hmm.
And, okay. So then we take the board out in the box and kind of slide it out of its packaging, and it was just full of grit. It was gritty. Like the whole thing, it was like it had been sitting in a pile of sand or something, wet sand. It was gritty and like sticky. And I'm like, yuck. But it was in between all this paper, and the paper was clean. So it's not like this had oily residue that was staining the outside of the box. It should have been everywhere if that was the case. And it wasn't. So I don't know what this residue was, but it was very dirty, this board. And it had been, there was mold on the back.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Do you know these people who sent it to you?
No.
No.
It was from another state. And they found me online and said that it resonated, that they wanted to send it with me and that I would handle it properly.
Yeah.
And it was, it had black mold on the back. And it had been warped a little bit on the top where it looked like it had gotten wet. Yes. And then this black mold was on. I picked it up and looked at it. It's like, oh my God, there's like black mold on this. And you could see just by Tim and I starting the process, these beings that wanted to come through, they were kind of, it almost looked like a cartoon where they were like, oh, and they back away. You know, they get these cartoon characters that are like, oh no, you know, we can't go there. It's poison or something. And so they back away a little bit to see what's happening. And so they're watching us. And we do the closing. It takes a while. It probably took us an hour to do the closing, maybe an hour and a half, because we really had to spend time with it, sending energy to close it and all this stuff. And we get done, and I didn't feel like we should destroy it.
Oh.
So I don't know what we're supposed to do with it yet. We weren't supposed to destroy it, at least not then. And I took this combination of herbs that I have in my studio, and we're just supposed to put it back in the box. Seal it with all these herbs, like in the box, and seal it, seal the box and be done for now anyway. And we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
But it was, as soon as we closed it and sprinkled the herbs over it, every spirit within 100 yards of that thing scattered.
Oh,
like the ones on the other side, they scattered. They're like, nope, not even coming near it. It's like poison to them. So they were fine. It's closed. But I don't know what I'm supposed to do with it now.
Yeah,
I guess. So it's sitting in the studio again, back in the weird box. Black mold and all. I'm like, okay.
Yuck.
I know. I'm like, well, I would like to get rid of it, but they're like, no, not yet. I know, right?
Maybe I should burn it at some point, you know?
Well, burning doesn't usually work. I wouldn't burn a board to get rid of it.
No.
That's not how I do it. But anyway, how interesting, right?
Yeah. Kakafra is what I say. Yeah, well, so the ongoing saga of the Ouija board. So we'll have to, next time you do something with it or you decide what you're going to do with it, you'll have to report back. And we'll have to figure it out, you know.
Yep.
See what's been done. That's interesting.
So I love getting Ouija boards. If anybody wants me to take a Ouija board off their hands, please go to my website. You can send it to me, get my address. I will take care of it. And most of them I don't end up destroying. I mean, if they're a good teaching instrument, I'll use it at my Halloween open house, or I'll just keep it on hand. So, anyway.
Cool.
Ghost Dance was asking, did anything drip from above? And no, nothing dripped from above. I have tile ceilings in my studio, and they're all new. None of them are stained. And there's been no water damage or anything that I've seen in my studio. It's been very, very clean and dry. I'm on the second floor of a 2-floor building. No plumbing, no nothing around. And I have had no water issues in my studio.
Yeah.
Or any other weird oily substance.
So, weird.
Yeah.
That is very strange. Wow.
So that's the scoop with the
Ouija board.
With the board.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's...
Well, I'll keep you posted if I'm
I'm speechless. I don't really know what to say about that.
So, and then Sherry said, burn the black mold. Well, if I burn the black mold, I'm going to have to burn the board. And that I'm not going to do yet. So, I will keep you posted if anything changes.
Yeah. Well, who knows what may happen. You know, the veil's thinning right now. So,
But at least this one didn't try and get us.
Right. Not like that one. Oh, my God.
The one that I got the rash from.
Yeah.
That was awful.
Yeah.
Look, I got attacked by an octopus on my palms. It was actually on my fingers and my palms. It was just the whole...
It was like the tentacles
grabbed
you or something.
Yeah. I had all these circles in different sizes all over my hands. Just not the tops, just the underside.
It's like where you touched it.
But all my finger, everything. Just like circles everywhere. And it itched like nobody's business, and it appeared in like 5 seconds.
Oh my God.
All of them.
That's just crazy.
Yep.
That's just
crazy. I wish I would have taken a picture. I'm kicked myself for not taking pictures. I don't know what I was thinking. Because it took like 2 weeks to get rid of it.
Yeah. Bleach the mold, Ghost Dan says. Yeah, that's a good idea.
No, that's possible.
Kill the mold anyway.
Yeah, spray some bleach on it.
Yeah, like, you know, Clorox or something. The Clorox sprayer that has the bleach in it. So you know, it's springtime, Heidi. So we kind of thought we would talk about, we like to talk about the seasons and what's going on. And the spring equinox happened, a couple weeks ago now.
Mm-hmm.
And we all know what that means. That's it's the same exact time of the year, but flipped as the fall equinox, the veil gets thin.
Right. It's the 6 month.
Yes. Yes.
So equivalent.
The veil gets thin just like it does in the fall, but now we're thinking about the new beginnings and the new births. And so it's a little different, but nonetheless, all of those spirits and things are still much more available to us now than at any other time of the year, even though we don't really think about the ghostly things right now, you know, because we're all into the growing and all that kind of stuff. But I came across this article about how to tell, maybe I don't have it up now. Signs you're feeling the thinning of the veil, Heidi. So let's do this.
I've got to hear this. I know you told me about this.
I know.
I would like to see if this is what I feel.
I know, right? Okay, so 10 common signs that you're feeling the thinning of the veil. 1, sleep is really rough. Yeah? You've had a hard time falling asleep and staying asleep, and it's not uncommon that you wake up at the same time every night. Particularly about 3 a.m. Okay, what's interesting to me is, like, for the last week or so, I always wake up around 3 or 3:30.
Oh, really?
Even if I go back to sleep. But, yeah, there's just something waking me up. Hmm. Isn't that interesting? I thought that was cool.
That is interesting. 3 o'clock. Yeah, 3 you know, and there's some interesting ideas around 3 o'clock, you know, being the dead hour and things like
it
that.
It is the dead hour, but, yeah. So maybe. So they're all, you know, coming in, you know, whatever. Dreaming is exhausting. Yeah. Your dreams are suddenly ratcheting up to like 1,000 on the scale of 1 to 10.
Yeah.
Things are vivid and really kind of screwed up and weirder than normal.
Yep. I'll agree with that one. My dreams have been nuts. And I have nuts dreams anyway, as you can imagine.
Yeah,
it's been crazy lately.
Yeah.
So.
And see, you know I dream, but I almost never remember my dreams. And for the last week or so, I remember when I wake up. I don't really remember after that, but I know that I've absolutely been dreaming.
You should keep a notebook by your bed and write them down.
I know. I should do that. People say that.
Because I've done that.
Yeah.
And it's it helps.
So then maybe you remember more after you wake up.
Yeah, usually if I have a really powerful dream, I'll write it down immediately.
Mm-hmm.
Because usually, for me anyway, I've gotten some really important messages through my dreams. And when they go on and they feel real and all this stuff that, I mean, the really long ones that have to do with me in this lifetime, and they make sense, because some dreams are just bizarro, and you're like, you'd have to really try to pick the pieces out that are helpful. But I'll write them down right away, because I need to keep that information on hand, because it is stuff that I've actually used.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Mm-hmm. I'll have to try. I'll put a notebook by the bed. 3, your house is like Grand Central for spirits. I don't know about that.
I don't know about that either. Yeah. Well, I mean, I have to say, though, it just, in general, gets more active.
Mm-hmm. So you have a lot of spirits popping in and out of your space. You can either see them or distinctly feel them. I do feel like there's something around here every once in a while the last few weeks.
Yeah, and I don't know about Grand Central Station.
No.
It gets a little more active.
Yeah.
For sure.
Your furry babies seem to be going totally insane. All of a sudden, you start noticing your pets and they're looking at things that aren't there, more so than usual. I haven't really noticed that about my animals. So I don't know, but, you know, it's still at the very beginning, so who knows. Being sick is the normal now. Getting sick and feeling run down just happens at this time of year for you. This isn't the craziest sign you're feeling the effects of the thinning of the veil, but for some people, this can be pretty intense. Maybe you normally just get a cold or two, but during mid-September through October, you might get an all-out flu, or like right now, for example. You're feeling like you're living in the saddest movie ever. Everything makes you emotional, even more so than normal. It's not uncommon for sensitive people or empaths to be an emotional lot, which that is true. But this time of year, you can be a walking Kleenex commercial. I do kind of agree with that one. You know, I do. You have moments where you feel like you're in another world. You feel ungrounded and not here. Yeah, I do. I do. Actually, a lot of these I've been feeling lately. Number 8, suddenly you're the most psychic of all the psychics in the world. Your intuition and any divination you do is super clear. And yeah. This is an important one because it's easy to see all these other things as being problematic or possibly negative, which they aren't.
Yeah, that one I agree with. I know I've had some more heightened awareness, I think, lately. So
yeah, this is one of the most and more enjoyable aspects of the thinning of the veil is that spirits are more in our ear when we're doing readings or connecting with our intuition. Mm-hmm. Number 9, you smell things that aren't there, so you're constantly WebMDing to make sure that you're not having a stroke. Suddenly you're smelling things that aren't anywhere near you. First, make sure you're not having a stroke. Then Observe what you're smelling without fear. This is one of the ways spirits become noticeable to us. Well, that's true. You know, so you might smell flowers that remind you of your mom. Or for me, the Copenhagen that my dad used to house to, you know, might be a good one. I haven't noticed that, but I'll be cognizant of that one. And the last one is, you often feel like you're on fire or freezing to death for no reason. And boy, is that true. I mean, I'm either super hot or freezing.
Okay, so that one has happened to me lately.
Mm-hmm.
It was the night, wasn't it the night that we had the seance?
Mm-hmm.
You guys came and I thought I was going to spontaneously combust.
Yes, and that was right? 2 weeks ago, right? That was 2 weeks ago. Yeah.
Tim was the first one at the studio. I just finished up with some clients, and I didn't think I was going to make it mm-hmm. through the clients because I was going to pass out. Mm-hmm. I got so hot for no reason. It was pleasant in the studio. I asked my clients how they're doing. It felt good. You guys came in. It was good. He came in, and he said, I told him I have to go outside. I said, I can't even tell you how badly I need to get outside right now. I am so hot. And he goes, it feels really weird in here. The energy feels really weird in here, and it feels warm. And I said, I got to go outside. And so I left and I came back 15 mm-hmm. minutes later. And he said, the second I left the studio, the temperature went down and it felt normal energy wise in there.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. I think I was setting something off energy wise and temperature wise. The temperature dropped 10 degrees when you left. Immediately.
Isn't that crazy? I remember you telling me that. Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It says the chances are you're feeling the energy shift in the air of spirits and energies move around through the veil. So maybe there were just some of them that were really around you. And, you know, there was a lot of crazy energy in that space that night.
Yeah, it was. Mm-hmm. So that one has happened to me recently.
Mm-hmm. But I do feel a lot lately like I'm either super hot because, you know, normally I'm freezing all the time. And there have been times where I'm like just throwing off jackets and stuff because I'm just hot, and that's so unlike me. That is so unlike me. So some of these, definitely at least half of them, if not more, I've been feeling. So
Ghost Dance, when you mentioned the dream thing, right? Mm-hmm. He said, keep a glass of water at your bedside and drink it when you wake up. It is supposed to help you recall your dreams.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
You have to try it.
Yeah, that's a good idea. He's saying here the water would be gone or tipped over. Yeah, well, that might happen to me, too. You know, I have lots of fur babies that like to do that.
That's what Kat was saying, too. She's like, yeah, mine will be tipped over. But, mm-hmm. Yeah, so I thought that was an interesting tip. Maybe you should try that, too.
Yeah. Yeah. Put it in a bottle. Have a bottle of water. There
you go.
Because
with then, a lid.
You know, yeah.
You have cats.
Yeah, exactly.
So keep it safe. But, yeah, let's try. Maybe try that, too.
Good
one
idea.
Or the other. See what works for you.
Yeah. Yeah, so interesting. So that was a great article. I thought that was fabulous. So all of you, all of our listeners out there, if you're feeling any of those, well, it's because of the thinning of the veil. And the veil is the thinnest at Beltane, which corresponds to Samhain in the fall.
Yep. So that's coming up on yep. May 2nd, I think, is Samhain, is Beltane.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, yep. We've got another one coming, kids.
We do. So get ready. Hold on tight, because it's going to happen.
That's going to happen with a Mercury retrograde. I'm going to look that up while we're on break.
I don't know. The next Mercury retrograde isn't until July. Thank God.
Yeah. Well, then we're good.
I think so. Yeah, because we're so happy that one's over with. Oh, my gosh, it was a bad one this year or this past time. But anyway, you know what? It's 8:30. We're at the half hour, so we need to go to our break, and we will be back in 2 minutes. This is The Gathering on the Para-X Network.
Hi, this is Barry Fitzgerald from GHI, and you're listening to the Para-X Radio Network.
What happens to a ghost when their home is torn down? No one thinks of the disembodied when they rip down old buildings, dig up cemeteries, and build clean, unhauntable condos. Every year, hundreds of spirits are driven out of their own haunts by the careless living to exist alone with no one to scare. At Para-X Radio, our hosts feel the plight of these evicted disembodied, and we're reaching out to you to please open your heart to one of these lost souls, such as the ghost soldier of the General Wayne Inn or the abandoned spirit cat of Benjamin Rush. So please, please, let a little spooky into your life. Won't you open your house to a ghost without a home?
Para-X.
Rhett, where are you going?
I'm going back to the paranormal view, back where I belong.
Please, please, take me with you.
No, I'm through with everything here. I want to see if there's something left in life I haven't explored. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, Rhett, don't run to them. They talk about ghosts and hauntings, UFOs, and all kind of supernatural scary stuff.
You'll never understand, will you, Scarlet?
No!
Well, that's your misfortune.
Rhett, if you go, where shall I go? What shall I do?
Frankly, my dear. Line!
Oh, you gotta be kidding.
That's the Paranormal View with your host, Henry Foister, Jeffrey Gould, and Barbara Duncan. Every Saturday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, exclusively on the Para-X Radio Network.
Welcome back to The Gathering here on the Para-X Network, and we're talking about spring things.
Mm-hmm.
Does that rhyme? Spring things.
Spring things.
So we just talked about the thinning of the veil, mm-hmm. and how you might actually know mm-hmm. you're being affected by the thinning of the veil in the spring mm-hmm. equinox. Mm-hmm. And now we want to talk a little bit about Easter.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. its pagan roots
and all of those things. And, you know, don't you think it's interesting? And I often thought this as a kid, but, you know, I grew up in a Lutheran and Catholic household. So, you know, how does the Jesus story fit in with bunnies and eggs and all of that?
It doesn't.
Well, it doesn't, but of course, you know, but then as, you know, now we know how it does fit in.
It does fit in a different way.
Right.
And you know what I think is interesting, and I never understood this until I got older, mm-hmm. but because, you know, Easter is one of those, it's not a fixed holiday.
Right. No, right? It's the Sunday after the first full moon, after the equinox.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, how pagan is that?
Right.
You know, basing a holiday off of a moon cycle.
Absolutely.
Based on an equinox.
Yes.
It's like, what? That's...
Yeah.
So I think it's interesting that is part of the... That still holds, where instead of landing on a fixed... Because a lot of other dates are just a fixed...
Well, and Christmas, too. So Christmas is really based on the winter solstice and the season of Yule, which is another pagan holiday, because the priests didn't want the pagans to, really, that's because we know Jesus was probably not born at Christmas time, right?
Oh, I think they thought he was born in the summer.
Yeah. So that's like totally the wrong time of year for that, you know, but they had to, you know, tamp down those pagan holidays, right? That's what I think.
Yeah, basically hijack them.
But, you know, and then Passover. So Passover has another weird time. Passover, I looked that up today, too, because I wanted to know when that was. And so that starts on the first full moon after the equinox. So that's the first full moon after that. And then Easter is the first Sunday after the first full. I mean, you know, it's kind of crazy, right? But I mean, they all have, I think, roots back, you know, way back in the pagan days. And, you know, the bunnies and the eggs, well, you know the story of Ostara, which is she was the goddess, right? She's the fertility, or the goddess Oster. And she, everybody was giving her gifts, and the bunny wanted to give her a gift. And he looked in, she looked in her cupboards, and she had nothing there to give except for an egg. So she brought that egg to the goddess, and the goddess was so thrilled with her that she said, "You are now my bunny, and you shall give eggs out to everyone as a sign of fertility and all of these things." So she honored the bunny. So, and you know, the bunnies, of course, we know they're fertile as all heck, right? They just have babies and babies and babies and babies. They're a huge sign of fertility, which, you know, that's what the springtime is all about too. So that's where the bunnies come in and the eggs come in. And, you know, I mean, when you tell, it's funny because when you tell Christians this, they just about die, right? Because they're right. Like, no, absolutely not. Well, yeah, it is.
Well, it's a lot older than some of the Christian traditions. So, so I thought, you know, it was interesting also that there's, the bunnies are left over. I'm reading here just to make sure I get this. But a great northern goddess whose symbol was the bunny. Mm-hmm. And so that's where that kind of worked into it. And exchanging of the eggs is definitely the ancient custom. And also hot cross buns. It's an ancient tradition as well. They used to make these buns for an idol. And religious leaders tried to put a stop to it because they would make these two, you know, what they would consider a false god. So it was a stop. They tried to put a stop to these sacred cakes being baked at Easter. So in the end, in face of defiant cake baking pagan women, they gave up and decided to bless the cake instead and keep it in, say, fine, instead of trying to fight it, we'll just pretend it's ours. So,
exactly.
Good for them. And you know, I'm not knocking. I mean, I grew up Catholic.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we're still good. We're still friends.
Yes.
But you know, I just think it's interesting. You know, and maybe nowadays they say, "Hey, this wasn't ours. We borrowed it, and it's cool. We're all friends."
Exactly. Exactly.
Right. That would be awesome.
Should be. You know. Yeah. And I think it's cool. And I do think that it's good to figure out where all of these things come from, actually, you know, because obviously Jesus wasn't running around with eggs and bunnies, that's for sure, you know.
So, I mean, he might have had some bunnies just passing by.
But yeah, and you know, and this whole season is fun because it's all about new beginnings, right? We're in the fall, the opposite time of the year, it's more everything's dying. You know, everybody's preparing for this long, hard, cold winter. Lots of people die. Lots of things die in the wintertime. And now it's all about the earth is renewing. The energies are ramping up because, as you know, they do this until the summer solstice. And, oh, my gosh, when you go out there at night sometimes, you can just feel it. I mean, you can just feel the earth vibrating, you know. Yeah. And oftentimes I have said that paranormal investigations – a lot of times aren't as fruitful at that time of year as other times of year because that whole summer shroud is just so big and so energetic and it kind of tramps it down. So we have a hard time hearing it more so than other times. So, yeah, so we're coming into that time now. So it's a very fun time of year, I think.
Mm-hmm. I agree. And one of the things that I like too, you know, I find this a lot doing inside investigations in the wintertime. And in the, you know, cold times is, and I find this that we go to the Bakken a lot and do investigations there, the Bakken Museum, and we find a lot of elemental activity indoors in the wintertime. And, you know, what's interesting is now that it's spring and the gardens are going to start blooming and they have a beautiful garden there. Yeah. Oh my goodness. They have beautiful gardens. They have so many weddings there and people just love their gardens and they have so many elementals there. Cool. And I know a lot of places do, but their gardens are beautiful and it is just the perfect place for these elementals. But they come inside when it's cold. Like you think that it wouldn't affect them, but they also don't have the things to play with and things that they can, I don't know, that keeps them busy. Like in the summertime with all the flowers and the nectars and the leaves and all these fun things.
Yeah.
So, you know, they come inside and they kind of mess around and they play and, you know.
Yeah.
So I think it's fun now to go back outside and actually when we're doing indoor investigations too and see, are they still here?
Right.
Are they still inside or have they gone back outside?
Yep.
Because truly, I think that they would prefer to be outside.
Well, don't we all? We all love to be outside.
When it's nice out, yes, I want to be outside. And the flowers and the, birds and all this fun stuff. So, it's fun to go to these investigations where you really have a lot of elemental activity. Mm-hmm. And then here comes spring and off they go back outside.
And then there's none inside.
Not as many.
Yeah.
Unless you're a silly goose and keep fairy houses in your inside, which I don't.
Yes.
I say don't do it, but that's just me.
I have a fairy house in here.
Oh, Lord.
Well, I've been told that I'm really a fairy that had to come and live here as a human.
I could see that.
Yeah, I mean, it's true when you think about it. And I said, well, if I was a fairy, then my dad for sure must have been a leprechaun because he always reminded me of a big leprechaun. And it's the whole power's way. And we all laugh when I tell people this because it was a psychic who told me this, and I'm like, everybody in my family is just like, oh my God, we can so see this, Who knows? But funny. Anyway. And, and the trees are waking up, which, I'm a big tree person. When we were out the other day, I kept hugging those big 100-year-old pines. I'm telling you, they have such great energy out there. And I know we all were on that one tree for sure. That big one that we saw. Because I love the trees. But it's just a fun time of year.
It is.
And
it is.
It's buzzing outside.
One of the things that I talk about in the studio, too, about spring is, you mentioned it earlier tonight about being in the cave of winter. Mm-hmm. And, it really is this time of not, doing a lot of external work. And, it's really about going within and things that I myself, what am I working on myself? It's not anything that I need to tell anybody about. I don't need to get anybody's advice on, or just gossip about. It's just, these are things my personal stuff that I want to work on. And I do that in the winter because, we have this darkness and it is echoing the cave and hibernation. But here's spring and it's like, wow, what did I work on? What am I excited to kind of launch and show and bring out into the world? Like, who is this person that I've been working on and how might she be a little different and hopefully a little better, So I do appreciate this time of year for just,
bringing out that.
Yeah, what have I been working on so hard over this season that I want to bring out into the world and reveal?
Exactly. Yeah, no, it's just a fun time of year. And Beltane has so many magical attributions too. Like they say, doorways, you can time travel. At Beltane, for example, there's thoughts that, at those big stone circles over in the UK and Ireland and England and, there's a time doorway there that opens like at Beltane because Beltane is so powerful. The interesting thing to try. But yeah. I don't know, well, how would you get back? What if you could never come back?
That would be a trick.
Yeah. And I mean, there's that whole series of books that are novels that are based around that too.
Outlander.
Yes, the Outlander series.
Yep. I read them.
Yep.
Which I think is very cool. And I could see the times of year would be more helpful to having going through portals and vortexes and travel and all that. So yeah. But I would be, how do you get back is the question. And some of that is travel, not necessarily in the physical form.
Right.
But of you're able to travel, but you're not in your physical form. Mm-hmm. Because we can travel, and I know that it's happened when I've been in the studio working with clients where I was gone and I know a bunch of stuff happened. I don't have a lot of recall because now I'm back in my human form and it was like a minute. But I know that that also can depend on the time of year. Because the energy is just, how many sessions do I do with people every day, every week, every month? And it doesn't happen that often. It just, everything has to line up. And I think the person, too, that we're working with has to line, everything has to line up. So it just has to be perfect. And you're also being guided. You're not doing it on your own.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've asked Spirit Guide, Tim and I, we actually found, I don't know what the Earth equivalent of a wormhole would be.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if there is wormholes here on Earth. I don't know. That's the only way I can describe it. And we found one.
Mm-hmm.
We were doing a clearing.
Mm-hmm.
And we asked, we said to Spirit Guide, we're like, hey, can we sit here and like meditate and go and follow it and see where it goes? And he's like, are you nuts?
Mm-hmm.
He's like, you will never come back.
Mm-hmm. That's what I would be afraid of.
He's like, your body would be here and you would be a vegetable.
Yes.
Because you will be,
yes.
yourself, your soul would be gone. And yes. You may not come back, and then they're going to have to lug you to some place that they can let you lay there for a long time until they decide to pull the plug, because you're never going to get back.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. He's like, so don't even. I mean, we got scolded.
Yeah.
Because we thought, oh, this would be cool. But then we asked, and he's like, are you nuts? What is wrong with you two?
Did you do anything with it? Or did you just, is there something you could do with it? Could you close it up?
We were able to
close it or something?
We couldn't close it because it wasn't a portal or a vortex or something like the we've normally run into. So we were shown how to shift it so it was out of the path of humans.
Oh, good.
So that people couldn't accidentally
do that.
You know, they sit in a chair in this area and they take a nap and off you go.
Yes.
Accidentally.
Yeah.
Thankfully in this house, there was no, it was just in the part of a house and the rest of it was outside.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't in a way that it would get caught. Anyway, it was, it's fine. I don't know how we did it. He helped us do it, but it worked.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it kept it from being an awful accident. But you wonder.
Yes.
What if this happens? I know people that end up, you know, in a coma, all of a sudden they have something, and you think it's a medical thing, but what if it's something like this?
I know, because right? I've read things like this before.
Right?
I know.
And
what? I think it was more like in some novels that I read, but I mean, there are people who are intuitive like us, you know what I mean, that were writing about these things. So did it happen to them, and how do they know this could happen? And yeah, what about all these people that are in comas? Maybe they really are somewhere else.
Right?
That's and then they come back after all this time. Wouldn't it be nice to question them and ask them if they were somewhere else during all these years?
And if, you know, think of how many people would ask them and they wouldn't believe them.
Mm-hmm.
Or they come back and say, oh my gosh, I was here, was it this? And they were like, oh, you're just dreaming. Or whatever happens when people think you're in a coma.
Yes.
Anyway.
Ghost Dan says we attempted to toss a penny in.
You know, I was going to throw myself in, so a penny would have been nothing. I was, like, ready to throw myself in there. So, yeah, of course. I mean, I didn't think of it after. The first thing I thought of was put myself in there, which probably not smart. A penny would have been smarter for me to go, I wonder what would happen. But here's, like, we're walking through it. It's part of this house. The homeowner walked through it thousands of times.
Yeah.
So, but you just have to be in it in a certain energy and go into a certain mindset. And your soul would get caught up in it and gone. So, but I didn't even think about it. I'm like, can I just do it? And we just got scolded.
Yeah.
I mean, well, so scolded. So then I'm like, well, I should have asked, about a penny or something first.
Yeah. Well, but okay. So what about, we were talking about like going back in time, like this time of year. And, you know, they talk about, well, that whole novel, but I've heard of other people talking about that too, about the stones. And 'cause they're so magical over there and we don't really know what they are, but what they mean and stuff. But well, what if, you know, like we talk about that portal that we found up in the woods up north, you know, that we think is a portal.
Mm-hmm.
What if we think there was a doorway there? Could we physically go through there? And what would happen to us? Would we ever come back?
Well, I don't know. I mean,
I don't know either.
I guess anything is possible.
Maybe, because I just really think there's a portal there. And I'm just thinking, God, what if we just jumped through it? What would happen to us? You know, I don't know. It's kind of scary and kind of exciting all at the same time. I don't know. Something to think about. Keep your right foot out. Yeah, well, no, if you're going to jump in, you got to.
Well, there's.
And you have to go up with somebody else so that there's two of you. You know?
Yeah, that's. Except you can't go in alone. If your soul gets sucked, you can hang on to the physical self.
Right.
But yeah, they were joking in the chat room about putting your foot in.
Yes.
And I'm like, well, yeah, but I don't know if that would do anything because, I mean, you'd still have to go into this meditation state, into this meditative state with intention. And so even just having part of you in there, what if it pulls the whole bit of you out? Or what if you have a soul fracture?
Yeah.
You know, because part of you goes,
and
that creates some kind of soul fracture, soul loss. That's never fun. I mean, people can function just fine through the rest of their lives without pieces, and they do all the time, but it's better to have them. it can cause problems without. So
it's really scary stuff to talk about, actually. I'm going to dream tonight about this stuff, you know?
I think it's cool because, I mean, I've dealt with some of this stuff, and so I think it's cool. But yes. I probably wasn't thinking when I just wanted to throw myself into it and see what happened. That wasn't smart. Right. And nowadays, I would not say that. That was a while ago.
Yeah, that was a while
ago. And I think I was just excited to have that happen, you know, to find something like that.
Yeah.
Because Tim and I were talking, we're at this house, and this gal, we're like, just, you know, hang out over there, wait, you know, we'll kind of go. And then we were talking, we're like, oh my goodness, I think that's what this, because we just couldn't wrap our minds around it at first. Yeah. And then we asked him, we're like, is that what this is? And he's like, well, sure, we'll call it that. Because again, there's so many things that Spirit Guide tells us that he says we don't have the capacity to understand.
Right.
He goes, you don't have a basket that I can put this in.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning humans don't.
Right. Right.
I mean, it's not that Tim and I are, you know, box of rocks, you know, right. We've got some sense about this stuff.
Yes.
But he's like, as humans, you do not have the capacity to understand what I can say. He goes, there's not the words, there's not the understanding. And I'm always like, try me, just say it. And he's like, you quit. Just stop.
Yeah.
So that was one of them that, you know, that was the gist I could gather, but I don't know that was the whole thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wow, fascinating stuff. How did we get on this subject? Oh, because I started talking about the circles.
Yeah.
And now we're talking about wormholes and portals and, you know, getting souls lost and, you know.
Well, but, you know, 'tis the season. I mean, you have a thinning of the veil and, you know, any kind of seasonal shift, and that can amplify any of this.
Absolutely. This is the time. Yeah, so, this is the time of year. So for all of you out there in Radio Land listening to us, you know, just keep an eye out. See what you're seeing out there. And if you see a little something in the corner of your eye, think about it. It might be something.
Yep.
Usually is. And if you have any of those symptoms that we talked about.
Spring,
you know,
equinox symptoms.
Yeah. Then you know for sure it's thinning of the veil getting you.
That's funny.
Yeah, but there is a lot of craziness and magic, you know, like Kristen always talks about the magic right now because, you know, and especially around the equinox because the light of day equals the dark of night and, you know, it's an equal and that's a very powerful time. Well, but we're beyond that now. That was before, so now we're more.
We're heading towards the.
Yeah. The mostly light.
Yeah.
Which is cool.
Yeah.
Anyway, so, well, to the hokey pokey with a wormhole. That's good, Heidi.
Well, like we're talking about putting your foot in, put your hand in. I'm like, this sounds like the hokey pokey with a wormhole. I'm like, that's not smart. And I was going to do it. I was going to throw my whole self in to the wormhole. So whatever. That's just
saying, what would happen if you butt a vacuum up to it?
I don't.
The vacuum might go away.
Maybe. Who knows what happened? I don't know. It's just, it's interesting stuff. And if it would have been my house, I'd have experimented more, but it was not my house. And So that's why.
Yeah. Well, so anyway, this is a buzzy time of year, everyone. It really is buzzy. So, you know, just keep your wits about you and look around and, you know, report back on any crazy things that are happening to you because we'd like to hear about it.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, if it brings up a topic like this that we just got kind of off on this tangent, we could maybe turn it into a show, you know, maybe make it a topic for a show. So hook us up, you know, go through our Facebook page or our website and let us know if you have a topic. We have a topic coming up in a couple of weeks from one of our chat room guests.
Yes.
So,
on the show.
Yeah. So, I mean, we're open to different topics and ideas from you guys. And we get a lot of cool stuff from you guys. So thank you very much.
We all say we have the best listeners.
We do have the best and the most fun chat room, probably.
Oh, yeah. We do have a very fun chat room. Everybody is very, you know, tell us what they think and they come up with these crazy ideas and, you know, it's very fun. So, and it's fun when we have our live audiences, like when we do the studio stuff, because, you know, it's just fun for everybody to be there.
Yeah.
And the energy is crazy. And
we're actually going to do a seance coming up.
We are.
Not on the air.
No. We're going to do it.
Because we understand that doesn't work very well with the big silent gaps. We're going to do it ahead of time and hopefully get some cool stuff that we can play during the show.
Yes. So we'll record it we'll probably video and audio record it, I would imagine. And then we'll talk about it. I think we'll try to have several of the people who are at the seance come and be on the show as well so they can talk about their experiences too, don't you think?
Yeah. So that'll be fun. So we'll have to get that scheduled.
We'll set that up, and we have to do that now during the veil is thin business, because this would be a good time to do that too.
Yep. Absolutely.
So we'll set that up and figure it out. But yeah, that'll be fun. We do have some fun ideas, and we just have to get going on them. We've been a little behind again now, because we've had a lot of guests the last few. We've had a guest a week, except for the week we did the light as a feather, stiff as a board, but that was a planned thing. So we'll get back into that now. But we've had a lot of really good guests. Yeah. We've had a lot of really fun shows the last month.
Yep.
You know, from the Lake Monster and the, you know, and Bigfoot and the out of body experiences, and you know, yeah, we've had some really good shows.
Yeah.
Really good shows.
And I am hoping that we can get, speaking of Lake Monster, hoping to get out on Lake Pepin.
Yes.
I did email that boat captain to see if we could get out there. So I haven't heard back from her yet, but yeah, hopefully we can get out there too, do some fun shows around that.
Yeah. And we can consult with Katie Elizabeth, because she said she'd be more than happy to let us know what to, you know, how to look and how to search. And I think it'd be fun as heck to go out there and search with her and see what, and she invited us. She'd come out whenever you want. Stay with me. You know, so it would be fun to do, but I know we all have really full schedules this year already.
I love that people think about us for going and doing creepy things. Like, I have a friend that said, "Hey, hi, Tim, you want to come up and stay in a haunted house overnight?" Mm-hmm. Like, yes, I do want to do that. Let's set it up. And so I'm actually doing that next weekend. So hopefully I have some cool stuff to talk about next week on our show. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I love, if you think of creepy, you think of me. Thank you. Thank you very much.
I love it. You know, and I love that our guests are always asking us to come and join them for these things too. You know, and I mean, they mean it. Come out and come out and stay with me for a week, and I'll show you what I do, and maybe you'll see Champ. And you know, we do need to figure it out, because I think that would be so much fun. Or have her come here, one or the other.
We did have a question in the chat room. Christy was asking, if someone passes, and I'm guessing she means dies, during the time when the veil is thinner, is crossing over easier or harder? You know, I don't know. I mean, I don't know that that has an effect on crossing over.
No,
I don't think it, I'm asking right now, and they're saying no, it doesn't have an effect. It's, what we are in, the humans, that may affect the person who's in transition. Mm-hmm. And actually, this brings up a topic. I have a friend whose neighbor is transitioning. He's officially in hospice now. And it sounds like everybody around him is just freaking out, nuts.
Mm.
You know, and so I think, to answer your question, because I'm asking right now, and they're pointing to the humans left over. Mm-hmm. So, and that makes sense. Right now, and I just remember from what she's told me recently, it's just nuts. These people are just freaking out.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the energy is affecting them differently.
Mm-hmm.
But each person,
the person who's crossing.
No, each person's transition is part of their journey, and it isn't really affected. It might be a little bit here or there. They're saying, you know, it just depends. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, their transition is going to be their transition depending on where they're at in all areas of their energies, all that. So, and there's our music.
Our music. I know.
Oh, good stuff.
It does. Well, here we go. Another hour has flown by. So it was fun talking about the springtime and the thinning of the veil and all that good stuff. And we'll be back next week.
And thanks to Para X for hosting, Sarge for producing. Mm-hmm. And our listeners and chat room chatters for hanging out with us for this last hour. It's been awesome and really fun. So thank you, everybody.
Yeah, thanks, everyone. And listen to The Calling tomorrow night, and the Squatchers will be on and talking about Bigfoot. So night, everyone. We'll see you back here. Same bat time, same bat place.
See you next week.